Hello. Due to a technical problem, the last lecture ended abruptly, so we will continue from there for the last few pages. So this is where the previous lecture stopped. My technical problem. So let's go on. We just learned what kind of power supply we need, the current and the voltage, and these have also some limitations. So the voltage, of course, we shouldn't go to very, very big voltages, because then we have problem of sparking, for example. And very very high currents mean that we have a lot of heat consumption or heat production, heat production in the transfer lines especially. So let's look at the transfer line from the power supply to the magnet. So we must have some conductors to get the current to the magnet from the power supply. Usually the power supply cannot be just beside the magnet because of radiation. So the electronics in the power supply cannot stand very, very high radiation levels. The cable that brings the current from the power supply to the magnet, it also produces heat. And typically the power dissipation upper limit is around 10 watts per meter. So just take an example that we have a cross section of copper in the conductor, 400 square millimeters. And if the current is 425 amps, then the power per length is 7.8 watts per meter. This is one of the one example from the tables regarding the power dissipation of cables. And this number of watts per meter, it depends on how the cable has been mounted, whether there is air enough around to cool it. So if it's very tightly packed, then the limit is lower. Okay, now for our case, 1000 amps, then if we have 1600 square millimeter cross section of copper, then that would result into 7.8 watts per meter. That's quite thick cable, or it could be round, of course, as well. But this is very difficult to mount because it's very, very stiff. So usually the cable, instead of having one, we have several parallel cables. And when we have several cables, then they are thinner and they are more flexible. So mounting is much easier. And then, of course, there's more cooling surface per unit power loss to be cooled. So in our cyclotron, so the nominal maximum is 1000 amperes, and the maximum from the power supply is 1170 amps. So we always go to the maximum first, wait for the iron to saturate, and as much as it saturates with this current, and it takes time, probably 10 to 20 minutes or so, and then we come back to the desired current. But this is the current that we must be able to take from the power supply to the cyclotron. And we have four pieces of 150 square millimeter cables. And then the maximum current in this cable is 320 amps. So four times this is more than this. So so it's okay. And this, as I just said, this number, the maximum allowed, depends on the assembly, so the cooling circumstances. And we must also note that for high currents, we may have significant voltage loss along the transfer line in the cable. So the power supply, of course, sees both the load and the transfer line. So the resistance, total resistance, is a bit more than just the coil. If the power supply is very, very far away, then we can have significant resistance in the cable, so a significant voltage decrease before we can come to the magnet itself. Okay, one more thing about choosing the conductor in the double bank case or the coils. Namely, you could choose whatever size of the conductor, but if the manufacturer hasn't produced a cable or conductor with those dimensions, they have to make tools to make these conductors, and that doesn't happen without money. So you should always look at the catalogs of the manufacturer. Here's one for rectangular conductors, hollow conductors. So for example, here 6.1 by 4 millimeter and 3.2 millimeter hole in this inner diameter. So these X and Y are the wall thicknesses, and then the rounding in the corners. And so there are lots of possible conductors, as you can see, and even more and more. And usually we use a square, but it's not necessary to use a square. Sometimes it's better to have something else. So here, for example, six by six square, and the hole diameter 4.5 millimeter, and rounding is one. So this 4.5 diameter hole and six by six means that it's 0.75 millimeter wall thickness, the minimum in both directions. So use it always in the first place. Look at these, so that you can see that what kind of tools they have to produce these cables. Then there's another question, whether they have the cable in stock. So in the process of making the cable, the conductor, when they start drawing the copper through the tool, then there's a certain length of cable that cannot be used, and then always to start the work, it's not for free. So if they happen to have the conductor in the stock so much that they don't have to make any more of it, then that's the cheapest choice. So always think of money always, together with the dimensions. But if you cannot find anything near of your choice, then of course you can try some other dimensions. But this is really the practical thing of magnet design, because money is also very, very practical. So this was the end, which was lost during the problem that we had, or I had, filming the lecture. So this is the end of practical magnet design. So thank you.